Broadcasting live from the Gwinnett studio of Business Radio X, located inside Office Suites Plus at Satellite Place in Duluth, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio. Gwinnett Business Radio spotlights and highlights companies that do business in Gwinnett County and the people who lead them.
And hello and welcome to Gwinnett Business Radio. I'm your host, Mike Salmon, along with my co-host, Stephen Julian, and we have three great guests in the studio with us again today. We have with us this morning, we have Alan Mishkoff from Granite Garage Floors, Debbie Henderson from Medical Education Resource, and Bill Fasig from Sports Challenge Network and their big product, X Bowling. We'll talk about that today on the show. And of course, Stephen Julian, I will say it, our resident comedian. Welcome this morning.
Morning, Mike. How you doing?
Pretty good. How's everything going with you?
Everything is fabulous. I hope everything is going well with you.
We are. And we're going to have a fun show already. We've had an interesting morning before we even got on the air.
If people only knew. So it's going to be great on the air. I know it is.
All right. Joining us first off is Alan Mishkoff from Granite Garage Floors. Alan, welcome to Gwinnett Business Radio. Tell us all about your company, Granite Garage Floors, and what you do.
Granite Garage Floors is a home improvement company where we focus on upgrading garage floors with a epoxy coating system that looks and lasts like granite. The garage floor is a surface that typically is overlooked by many homeowners, and as homeowners stay in their homes longer today, and look for additional opportunities to upgrade their current space. And once they get done upgrading a kitchen, a bathroom, doing some landscape projects, you know, the garage represents about 15 to 20% of this total square footage of a home. And we can put a coating on there that really transforms that space.
Alan, I noticed one of your taglines is looks and lasts like granite. Where did that come from? Why did you say that? And also, you know, one thing you just said to start off there is garage floors, kind of most people don't necessarily think about them, yet they use them every day. So kind of why that line and why is it important?
Good question. The reason that we call it looks and lasts like granite, actually came up with that with a gal that does my graphic design, Tracy Stallings. It was actually her note back to me as we were developing the logo and the strategy and what have you. And the reason is that epoxy coating systems and the ones that we put down are extremely durable, extremely chemical resistant, and they last a long time, and they're not prone to staining and or what is referred to the industry as hot tire pickup, which is a lot of folks have previously painted their garage floors. And what happens is they think that they've done a great job. They pull their car in to the garage after they've been on driving it around for several hours, and the next time they back their car up, there's tire marks where the hot tires lifted the paint off. So the granite garage floor system that we put down, we guarantee you that that's not going to happen. So you can get a great-looking finish that is extremely chemical-resistant, durable, and easy to clean, and upgrades that overall space. And if you think about it, guys, there are a tremendous amount of people that use the garage as a primary entry point into the home, whether it's you personally coming in and out of your garage every single day into your kitchen or whatever is the entry point off of your garage, or a lot of guests, particularly with kids and what have you, dropping kids off at carpool. The garage is always open. Why not make that a reflection of the balance of your house?
Talk about your background, Alan, and what led you to start this company.
My background has been in sales and marketing. I spent 20 plus years working for Black & Decker in the home improvement side of the business, supporting our Home Depot business. So I've been around home improvement for my entire life. And as I was thinking about a business and what I could do, my brother-in-law actually happened to work for a company that was putting these coatings on down in South Florida. And that company decided to exit the business. He wanted to start his own company doing something similar, so I helped him get that started back in 2009. And then as I was transitioning out of corporate America, spent a lot of time actually walking my dog in my own neighborhood in the height of the recession, noticing that times were tough, yet people were constantly doing things around their homes. There was nothing but vans and trucks, or people were upgrading their kitchens, their bathrooms, landscaping projects, what have you. So I basically started a similar company in Atlanta, and our most popular finish was our granite finish. So we rebranded the company Granite Garage Floors. Granite connotates durability and high-end design and good looks, and started marketing it to the people that I thought were similar to myself that would be interested in this type of product.
So we had a family member help you out. Your dog helped you out. So I guess half of your first million will go to him.
Right.
But on top of that, you mentioned something about people who paint their floors. What is the main difference between what you do with the epoxy and the paint? And is there a difference in value as well? I mean, is this for homeowners? You know, in my other life, I always think of bottom line return on investment. What kind of return on investment of getting epoxy rather than painting?
Good question. What we focus on is preparation, and anybody that is if you've been around painting, 80% of the work is preparation, 20% is actually painting. So what we do, our process is one where we physically diamond grind the entire surface. We have industrial diamond grinders that are hooked up to an industrial vacuuming system. So we literally remove any coatings, stains, what have you, that are on the current garage floor. We will completely clean it, patch any of the cracks that you have, and then we use an industrial epoxy. This is not an epoxy that you would get at a local home improvement center or a local paint store. We mix it on site by square footage. We professionally put it down by squeegeeing it, back rolling, and then we broadcast decorative paint chips into the base coat at a very high rate. And we have different colors and sizes in stock that give you the granite-looking finish. And then after that dries, typically 24 hours later, we will pick up the chips that don't stick, lightly scrape it, vacuum it really well, and then we put down a epoxy clear coat on top. And that's what gives it the durability. And 24 hours after we're complete, you can walk on it, move all your stuff back in it. Generally speaking, you have to wait 7 days before you can pull your car back in. And then we guarantee you that it's not going to peel, stain. And it really adds a tremendous amount of value to your home. And in today's competitive real estate market, this is high impact and relatively low cost. I mean, the overall cost of a general rule of thumb for this coating is about $1,000 per the number of cars you can fit in your garage. So if you have a standard two-car garage, for $2,000, you can have a finish that looks and lasts like granite.
What is the demographic of your customer, and where are your customers? Are you just local, or are you throughout the Southeast?
Good question. We actually have four locations up and running. We have South Florida. We have Atlanta, Raleigh-Durham, and in Richmond. And we basically target customers that are living in, for our granite finish, living in homes that are valued probably in the $500,000 range and up. And so we target a lot of those type of communities.
And how do you go to market? How do you get your product awareness out there in front of the folks that you're trying to reach?
We use several different types of advertising mediums that are targeted toward home improvement enthusiasts. There's different magazines and different advertising vehicles that are out there today that we focus on. Another thing that we do as well is, based on my background, we spend a lot of time on event marketing activities. Car shows are very popular amongst car enthusiasts, from the folks that are driving the exotics and the luxury cars, as well as all the classics. So we have partnerships with some of the larger car shows that are in the different markets that we serve. One of them being here in Atlanta, Caffeine and Octane. It's right up in Alpharetta, first Sunday of every month. There's over 800 to 1,000 cars owned by individuals. They come out for a cup of coffee, spend a couple hours looking at all the different rides, and we market to those folks. We have a tent that's set up there.
And you came on Gwinnett Business Radio. That's obvious as well. So one other thing, you spoke of, obviously, this enhances value of the home. If someone doesn't do this, if someone doesn't take care of their garage floor, what are some of the potential hazards and problems that people could face? if they just ignore it?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, if you don't do anything, what's going to happen is your car is constantly going to leak some level of fluids, oil. It brings dirt in there. It's very hard to clean concrete because the pores of the concrete begin to close and different levels of chemicals and what have you sit in there. So that's why we have to completely diamond grind and clean it. A lot of floors as well over time with settling, they have cracks in them and little divots that occurred through construction. We clean all that up so we can really enhance the way a garage floor looks and give it the durability that a customer is looking for.
Now, Alan, you actually brought in a couple samples that we were looking at before the show, and they're beautiful granite. And I'm thinking, you probably get this a lot after you finished a job. You have the customer saying, oh, my gosh, it's so gorgeous. You've done such a nice job. I don't want to drive my car on top of this.
Yeah, that actually, Mike, that actually is true. I mean, customers, a lot of times when their garage is completely cleaned out and that new floor is installed and a lot of folks put a fresh coat of paint on the walls as well, they are very hesitant to move all their junk back in and their cars and what have you. But over time, you get through that. But it is definitely a nice upgrade, and a lot of people are doing it.
Now, in your previous life, before Granite Garage Floors, you worked in corporate America. Explain the differences and what it's been like from you transitioning from corporate America into an entrepreneur.
Right. Well, obviously, in corporate America, you got a lot of resources behind you, all the different cross-functional teams that exist to support what you're trying to accomplish. When you're a small entrepreneur and starting a business, obviously, you have to wear many different hats. And the other thing about it, too, which I kind of like, is that you have an incredible amount of flexibility to live the life that you want to live. And as long as you're self-motivated and you get up in the morning, you're passionate about what you do, it feels like it's, for me anyway, personally, it feels like it's a good transition. Every day I wake up, I'm excited. It doesn't really feel like work for me.
That's great. 5 years from now, Granite Garage Floors, where do you see yourself?
I think 5 years from now, I think Granite Garage Floors will be a brand that is ubiquitous relative to upgrading garage floors. There's no category killer that exists today in epoxy coating systems from a national perspective. We differentiate ourselves. There's a lot of competition that does this, but many of those folks do painting and they do concrete staining and concrete stamping, and a lot of them offer cabinet services and what have you. Our business model is one that's extremely focused, and that's just focused on one thing and doing it really well. It's hard to do one thing well versus multiple things well, and that's what kind of separates Granite Garage Floors from other companies. So I would, in 5 years from now, I think you're going to see 25 locations across the U.S. in all the major markets.
All right, Alan, and the most important question I'm going to ask you today, how do people reach out and find out about you and get in touch with you?
Yeah, that's it's pretty easy. You can just go to www.granitegaragefloors.com on the web, and you can connect with us multiple ways there. You can send us an inquiry, and we will get back in contact with you very quickly. Or you can call us as well at 678-500-9537 here locally, or connect with us on Facebook. And also you can go onto our Pinterest site, which is available on our website homepage, and see a ton of examples of the different floors that are available to you, both close-up finishes as well as distance finishes and befores and after photos.
One last question that's not incredibly important, but it's been rolling around in my head the whole time. Did the phrase hot tire stamp, did that come from you, or is that an industry-wide term? Because I always love this show because I learn things. I'm now going to go the rest of the day, Mike, and try and use the phrase hot tire stamp.
Actually, it's hot tire pickup.
Oh, excuse me. Oh, man.
But that's close.
I ruined it.
That's more of an industry. Okay. It's more of an industry term.
So if people have problems with hot tire pickup, they need to call Granite Garage Floors.
You need to call Granite Garage Floors, and we will resurface your garage in about a day or a day and a half, and and really give you a space that you can be proud of.
Now, when you're doing your financial advising with your customers, you can ask them, do you know what hot tire pickup is?
If you have hot tire pickup in your portfolio.
Yes.
Or in your garage floors, you need to call Alan.
Give the website one last time, Alan.
www.granitegaragefloors.com.
Great. Thank you so much for appearing on Gwinnett Business Radio today.
Thank you for having me.
Now, our next guest today is Debbie Henderson from Medical Education Resource. Welcome, Debbie.
Hello.
Question that Stephen and I have, of course. Tell us about Medical Education Resource, what it is and what you do.
What I do is I provide corporate trainings for CPR, defibrillator trainings, first aid trainings, bloodborne pathogen trainings for companies or healthcare environments that need to have this type of training for OSHA requirements. A lot of my customers are, or clients are, in the corporate sector. And I also do a lot of doctor's offices, Gwinnett County Public School System, coaches, football coaches, baseball coaches, anyone that needs that type of training to meet their either job requirements or OSHA type requirements.
So obviously you're a registered nurse. You have to know all this stuff because you're giving the training and the education.
Exactly. I've been a registered nurse for, I'm going to date myself, 20 years.
So you got it when you were 10?
Got it, yeah, okay. When I was 10, yes.
You just became her favorite host of the two of
us.
It was either you or me, and I wanted to get in there first. So.
Yeah, okay. Nice guy. 20 years. I've worked for 10 years in an ICU, CCU type setting, and another 10 years in an emergency room type setting where we dealt with emergency situations, specifically in the chest pain center and stroke center. So whenever we talk about heart attack and stroke, we are able to really give a lot of treatments of things that we do currently today to help people, new technologies, new medications. Try to keep the class fun. It's the way I describe the class. It's everything you need to know and nothing that you don't.
Debbie, how big is the need in corporate settings for this type of education?
It's really needed more than people realize. A lot of the safety instructors or the folks at the corporate level don't realize that they need to have that as part of OSHA until they get fined. And so also the doctor's offices, hospitals, daycare centers, they all need to have that. And also the public feels more comfortable if they have their children dropped off and they know, like at a daycare center, that they know that they've had CPR, first aid, choking if something happens to them.
In your industry, I'm imagining you have to belong to a lot of professional organizations. Talk about some of the organizations you belong to, participate in, and also who is your customer out there? How do you find those customers?
Well, most of my customers, I've had repeat customers. I've been doing this for about 12 years, and they kind of seem to find me, or kind of word of mouth, pretty much. I've done the same corporate groups for 10 to 12 years, and also through the Gwinnett County Public School System. I work about every 3 months or so, teach at Duluth High School, and it's open to the public, and so I will get a lot of people that way. It's just the public coming in and either wanting to know more about it or who actually works someplace. And the professional organizations, I'm a member of the American Heart Association instructor, the National Safety Council instructor, and an instructor with the American Safety and Health Institute. And we also do trainings for child and babysitting safety trainings. There's forklift safety. There are things out there that it's not just CPR and first aid. It's anything that has to do with health and safety requirements that a company may need.
If I'm a business owner, obviously I think the large corporate entities probably get it that they need this, and obviously you've talked about working in the school system and they get it. If I'm a business owner, at what point do I need to make sure and pay attention to the OSHA stuff? and possibly use your services? Is it that I have a certain number of employees, or is it any business owner really needs to brush up on these things and make sure they're taking care of what they need to take care of?
It's pretty much the companies who have either manufacturing type work or product lines, large businesses. The smaller companies, I don't know if there's a particular number, but it's more companies where a safety issue would be involved. If they're involved with chemicals of any kind, or there's dangerous situations of any kind in the work environment, they are automatically required by OSHA to have that type of training.
I would think, Debbie, that with the baby boomer generation now, they're all getting to that retirement age right now, that finding work's not going to be a problem. And are there enough people out there like yourself that are going to be able to meet the demand?
Well, I hope not. I hope that they all come to me.
There you go.
She can take larger classes, right?
I can take larger classes. The class size varies anywhere from 10 to 30 people. There is a 10-person minimum. And so that keeps from only two people showing up. So there's a 10-person minimum, but I've done as many as 30 to 35 in a conference room-type setting. And we try to get everybody done all at the same time. We knock it out, and we do it in just a real laid-back, fun manner. And no pressure, no stress, because people learn better that way. They learn when it's just a real fun environment where they can ask questions, and hopefully I can answer a lot of their questions. And because I am a nurse and have so much experience with heart attacks, stroke, signs and symptoms, it's usually a very interactive class and a very interactive group of people, because in the baby boomer generation, who doesn't have a parent or even a husband or a wife that hasn't suffered from some type of cardiac disease that they want to know more about? And doctors oftentimes are not real good about explaining things in layman's terms on what's going on with people. And I find that I can do that quite well and talk on a level where they understand a lot of what's going on.
Debbie, my wife works in childcare, and every year she has to get recertified with her CPR. So not only are you looking for new target clients, but what would set you apart from the service that she might be using today that you would deliver on? What kind of extra value can you add than other services out there that are doing what you're doing?
Well, some people who are trainers or instructors do not have the level of experience that I have. I've been doing this for 20 years, and I still do dabble in the nursing field from time to time. So I am still very, very current with everything that I do. And I am able to really interact and answer most questions that people have and explain, whereas someone who does not have that amount of experience or has not worked in an emergency department or with heart attack and stroke patients would not necessarily be able to do that. So I really love to teach, and I really have always enjoyed dealing with healthy people rather than sick people, because they are just so inquisitive and much more, they're just so interesting. And they seem to get a lot out of the class, and they really seem to enjoy the time that we spend.
We're talking with Debbie Henderson with Medical Education Resource. And you mentioned, Debbie, that you've been doing this for about 20 years. As Stephen pointed out, you started when you were 10 years old. You've already touched upon some of the things that you enjoy about your job, that you love teaching. What are some of the other things that you really enjoy about what you do?
Oh, that's the teaching part is the best part. And I really enjoy it. What I do also is I don't hold classes. I hold classes at your location. I have all the mannequins. I've got the AED, the defibrillator. A lot of companies who have the defibrillator, they have to have the training if they have a defibrillator. You've got to know CPR. You've got to know how to work the defibrillator if you have one. A lot of companies are now starting to get defibrillators in their offices. And also, all of the parks and recreation, they have them at the concession stand, the malls, all over the place. And what was your question?
My question, what was my question?
What was your question?
We talked about what you love about the
job. Oh, what I love
about
it.
You went off on a tangent about defibrillators.
I did, didn't I? I did.
But you love talking about what you do.
I'm a typical woman. I'll just get off on some other subject or topic.
Don't touch that, Mike. Don't touch that statement.
No joke.
Let it go.
Be serious. Yeah. Okay. But CPR, first aid, other health, everything that you need to meet those OSHA requirements, you do all that.
I do all of that. And I also I also work for a company called Comfort Care Senior Services that also keeps me in the nursing field and keeps me updated on what's going on, where I do nurse assessments for elderly folks or people who need help and keep up with their medical conditions. So I really do try to keep up in the field of nursing and everything that's going on.
You mentioned the CPR. You mentioned the defibrillator. What is the other list of classes that either I'm a corporate business owner or I'm an organization that needs to bring you in? What are some of the other classes that are available that you can do?
Those are the majority of them. I've done bloodborne pathogens before, and that is one that has oftentimes been specifically asked for. And this will be for a company who wants to go above and beyond the OSHA requirements. They want to get a level above. So the bloodborne pathogen training is for a company who deals with chemicals, possible spills, how to clean up those spills. Also, medic first aid for ambulance drivers, healthcare personnel. There's wilderness first aid for people who are hiking. Hiking instructors or people who run camps, that type of thing, and they are specific to whatever you're doing.
All right, Debbie, again, the most important question, I guess, what's the best way for people to reach out to you?
Well, you can send me an email. It's medicaleducation@bellsouth.net, or you can give me a call at 770-653-9897.
Great. Debbie, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, Debbie Henderson from Medical Education Resource. All right, Stephen, time now for Bill Fasig from Sports Challenge Network. I've been looking forward to this, Bill, for a couple of weeks when I first read about your company. Sports Challenge Network, you've come out with a product, X Bowling. Give us the lay of the land. What is Sports Challenge Network? What is X Bowling? I try to explain to folks what I read. I think it's like a mobile gaming service, but obviously you're the expert. Tell us all about your company.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. Sports Challenge Network is a company that actually is built to create applications that drive participation in recreational and participatory sports using social mobile technology, using apps, using smart devices. And that hasn't really been done before. You know, you have apps today that you can use. Obviously, as you know, apps are the hottest thing out there right now. Everyone's got a smartphone. And if you try to actually buy something other than a smartphone anymore, you're challenged to get that. It's dominated by iPhone and Android. So the founders of the company, who I'll talk about in a second, came up with an idea that why not harness that reach, that technology, and the ability to actually play in a new way by driving participation in sports. And the first one that we focused on was bowling, which is kind of unique, because when you think about bowling, what you think about is typically a stereotypical image of an old bowling alley somewhere. Maybe it's an updated one, but it's bowling as it's been hasn't changed much since the days of the pharaohs, apparently. And who would have thought that we would be in an industry where we're driving innovation through the app? But in fact, when you look at the numbers in the bowling industry, you've got 71 million players in the United States alone, generate $7 billion in revenue, double both of those numbers when you go internationally. It is the biggest participatory sport in the world that hasn't had a lot of technology innovation over the last couple of decades, not really since they turned the lights out and called it cosmic bowling. And that worked fabulously well for them.
Right.
But in fact, what we're doing now is bringing what is the by far hottest wave of technology and the hottest type of experience to players to enable them to connect and compete in fundamentally new ways all through the app. So if you have a smart device of any type, anything with an Apple operating system, an iOS system, or a Google Android system, you go to the Google Market or the Apple App Store, search for X Bowling, you download the app, it's free, you can do it right now sitting here at this table. And then immediately you will be plugged into the X Bowling network, which enables you, which we've been in beta test all year, we're in just under 200 centers to start, just through our testing, will enable you to watch live every single ball thrown in every single one of those centers. And then when you go to one of those centers, you can actually challenge and compete and play against anyone wherever they happen to be. So, Mike, if you were in Seattle and I'm in New York and you decide you want to challenge me, you just send me a challenge. It shows in my phone. I accept it, and we literally can bowl, and you'll see it on the phone live exactly as you see it on the scoring monitors. We'll bowl in real time against each other. And, in fact, it goes even a little bit further, because if we're traveling and you bowl and you want to challenge me that I'm traveling, I can't make it on the same day, you can bowl. You post your game. I accept the challenge. Others can accept it as well if you want them to, kind of like a words with friends environment, if you will. And then I bowl a few days later. But what you see at that point, you know how you did. I have no idea how you did. You see the score of the game come up on your phone frame by frame,
as
ball
if
by
we're
ball,
together.
As if you're together. It's an extended live, what we call the DVR experience of live bowling.
So this is not like your video game where you're just pushing buttons. You're physically doing
you're physically
the sports.
Physically bowling. You have to bowl. You cannot sit in your kitchen and pretend to bowl. You actually have to go bowl. So it's not like, you know, you all know the success that games like Farmville have had, for example, where you're buying, you know, imaginary horses and raising imaginary crops, and they've been wildly successful. This has the same social aspect of those games, but you literally have to go bowl, and that's new. There's not been a company yet that has combined the power of the apps with the actual drive and the need to go play in the sport. In this case, that's bowling.
So it takes trash talking to a whole new level, where your friend in Seattle, you know, I'm a better bowler. We don't have to wait to actually get together. We can actually be bowling together, but we're not physically in the same city. That's amazing.
That's right.
How did the company start? Tell us about the background and the founders. Obviously, they saw an opportunity here, because you mentioned the millions of people that are participants in bowling.
Yeah, the way it started, the founder is Tim Menard, who's here in Atlanta. He's the CEO and chairman of the company, and he's an individual that I've known for many years. He and I worked together in some previous lives along the way. He came out of the tech industry. I came out of the tech industry. And so we've known each other going back into those days. And he's a serial entrepreneur, very successful at it. And at one of his companies, on his board of directors, was a gentleman by the name of Bill Goodwin. Bill Goodwin was the owner of AMF at the time. You know, ex-IBM guy, made a lot of money, bought AMF, made even more money, and was telling Tim, you know, about bowling. Tim was like, really, bowling? Because, I mean, now Tim's a consummate games guy. Consummate competitor, most competitive guy I know, and seldom do I beat him at anything, which is painful. But he actually started to study bowling as an industry and as a sport along the way, using the lens of his technology background. And then he realized, wait a minute, there may actually be, this goes back even before smartphones, this goes back into, say, 2000, there may be a way to use technology, which is then dominated by web services, to actually create a new type of experience, new types of challenges you can play while you bowl. And this idea percolated along for many years. And then with the explosion and the advent and now the ubiquity of social mobile apps and smartphones, that was the driver. You know, Tim had this epiphany moment, and he said, hey, let's put the band back together and let's go do this, and build a company focused on apps, focused on using apps to drive actual play in the sport. And that meant, in this industry, while it seems like a simple industry, it is not a simple industry. It's multiple scoring systems that you have to integrate with. It's been several years of product development, integrating with systems that go back, in some cases, a couple of decades that weren't designed for this. So it's been an intensive effort. And now it's been embraced by the industry tremendously.
I was going to say, bowling centers must love you.
Bowling centers, and then the industry, bowling centers do, the industry itself, who is looking for how do we get in front of the innovation curve as opposed to always trying to catch up. Mm-hmm. Most importantly, how do we provide a player experience that's different, that's new, that's compelling, that allows you to actually go to the center and literally play in new types of challenges? Because the key in the app, you'll see there are multiple challenges that you can participate in while you play. So you're doing your normal bowling, but then you can literally play frame challenges, ball challenges, game challenges, different types, you know, live challenges, head-to-head, different types of challenges that you enter. And then as you enter them, and it costs, you know, it could be sometimes free, sometimes a few pennies. If you're entering a tournament, it could be a little bit more. But it actually extends the play into new types of challenges. And as you do that, you accumulate points, reward points, if you will, which are then ultimately going to be able to be redeemed for things of value, whether those are goods and services related to the sport or even hard-to-get types of experiences. You know, you win, it'd have to be a lot of points, obviously, but you win the right to go golf at, you know, East Lake here in Atlanta or Pebble Beach in California, things that just you don't ordinarily go out and get. So it drives the reason the industry loves it is because it drives play and participation in the sport. And for us, it expands that footprint across an industry that is, I think, just phenomenally important and powerful as a player industry.
Well, I think what intrigues me is so much of the app universe is, like you said, sitting at your kitchen table.
It is.
And this is an app that drives physical activity and drives interest. I had a conversation about social media, and this is even more social because you go to the lane, but yet you can also make it a global experience of somebody in Seattle or somebody in another country.
Yeah, or...
and you've given a good verbal parameter of all the different kinds of things. Can you give a couple of stories of I'm somebody going to the bowling lane. I just downloaded this app. I just got it.
Right.
I've had no experience with it. What are some of the real tangible things I can do before I'm connected with 500 friends?
Sure. Well, first of all, once you download the app, you're entering basically all the features. You enter the world that is the app, and you have all the features available to you. First thing you would do is you would just start to play some simple challenges against yourself, right? Which is because you can say, I'm going to get a strike on the next, or I'm going to get a spare on the next, or I'm going to just... I start to accumulate points. And then as you look at the app, you'll see national leaderboards, how people rank and stack up. You'll see opportunities across the world, again, much like a Words with Friends as an analogy, where you can invite someone to play. You can do it randomly if you want, or you can just do it with yourself. But it creates community. The phrase we like to use is it allows people to connect and compete in a fundamentally new way and do that within a sport that they're already playing and that they already love. And then ultimately, as they start to climb the leaderboard, you know how it goes with social games and leaderboards. People love to compete, love the leaderboards. Every center will have the ability to show you how you're doing. You'll have a global leaderboard. You guys remember the game's still out there, of course, but Angry Birds, which is wildly popular, and they have these leaderboards that were gazillions of points. And if you were one of those guys, I mean, that must have been your full-time job, right? That's what you did. But people love to compete. And really, this enables us to bring the two most powerful things of the app world, which is social media, social mobile, right, the ability to reach out and build community. Bowling is fundamentally a social sport. And then new types of competition that enable you to expand your experience of the game and actually create a new and compelling way to play the game. And then, of course, it even goes a little bit further, because think now about think about social media from the standpoint of a celebrity angle. You have an athlete or an entertainer, and then there are a lot of them that bowl. They love to bowl. So they get to go out and bowl. Now, these people have millions and millions of Twitter followers, right? So they bowl. They're doing a concert tour somewhere. We know we've tested this out with a few performers already, just as a theory, and they said, absolutely, we do this. They go out. It's Thursday night. They do a concert. They're done with the concert. They want to blow off some steam. They take over a bowling center somewhere, and they send a tweet out saying, in advance, we're bowling on Thursday. Who wants to come bowl against me or with me? And that goes to millions of followers. Now, imagine all of a sudden those people are like, yeah, I'm in. I want to do it. You can do it live. You can do it as a posted game. And they flock to their bowling centers to go play so that they can – I'm just using him as an example – so they can compete against Shaquille O'Neal or Taylor Swift or Chris Paul. Pick your person, right? They all bowl. So it dramatically expands the universe of play and the ability to connect with someone that you follow, care about, and then you can either beat him or not beat him. You can beat him, I guarantee you. You're going to post that on your Facebook. You can post it on Twitter. It literally combines the social and play elements of the game into one.
So, Mike, when are you going to sign up for this app and then tweet out to everybody to challenge you at bowling?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask, when am I going to sign up and then bowl against some famous celebrity or something like that?
We can help you with that.
That's why.
See, I thought he was here to get you on board as the famous
celebrity. No, I got him here so I can get this app and find out more and start bowling, because it's really cool. Because I love the part of the social aspect, but just the physical aspect. When you have the first lady talking about everybody needs to get in shape, the NFL's doing their big marketing ploy about 60.
Play 60.
Yeah. And here we are, and it's an actual app that actually is going to get you out there doing something physical.
And this is also going to attract new bowlers.
It will.
It will,
because if you look, so first of all, think of the demographic, and you think of smart devices. I mean, I know that in my own personal focus group, which is my family, and my youngest is now, and it dates me, my oldest daughters are 20s, my youngest is 16, but they live on these devices. It's how they communicate, it's how they play, it's how they connect. And I tell people all the time, we're at the point now where if you as an individual, you leave home without your wallet, that's unfortunate. You hope you don't get a speeding ticket, no license. You hope somebody needs to buy you lunch. That's unfortunate. It's kind of annoying.
Steven pulls that all the time with lunch.
We all know that drill. I leave my wallet home whenever I can. But when you leave home without your device, you will turn around.
Yeah.
I've seen people miss flights to go back and get this device because it just becomes part of your life. It's how you communicate and play. So then also think about it from the standpoint of charities. And the bowling has been, long been the home of many charities. There are all kinds of charity events. Think about the footprint and the reach that you can now expand by not having it confined simply to one night, one location, one event. But now you can run multiple events at the same time around the country, around the world, have them occur over an extended period of time. It just dramatically widens the reach and the power.
I was also thinking, you know, so I asked the question about bringing in new people, but I was also thinking just of the league experience. My wife's parents were in a league for years.
Sure.
And now you can truly have leagues that go across states. And, I mean, you know, we're going to challenge you. So the trash talking, not just on an individual basis, but a team basis. My team is going to
absolutely
beat some team. You could have a true World Series of bowling.
Well, you can. And, in fact, when you talk about, again, about the youth element and the demographic in bowling, the industry knows it has to continue to grow and that's an important market, and it can't be, you know, your grandfather's bowling experience, whatever you think that might be. But there's a tournament held over this last summer in Indianapolis called Junior Gold, competitors, you know, young competitors from all over the country. And we were there with them, and they were enamored of this, because now, exactly as you say, they're able to connect with each other and compete wherever they happen to be in new ways, and they love that. They love to be on these devices and bowl at the same time.
A lot of business leaders and executives listen to the show, and they're probably thinking a business 101 question right now. Where do you make your money? Does that come from the bowling centers? Does that come from the people downloading the app? How does that work?
The downloading of the app is free. So there are two fundamental ways. First of all, in many of the challenges, some of them, and sometimes there are several that are free, but there are challenges that cost, you know, pennies or dimes to play. So you think about the volume of bowlers, and then you do the simple math, and you think if they're going to be participating, and you're now thousands of centers, and you reach all those bowlers, and you know they may sound like it's only pennies, but that gets to be a substantial number, obviously. And then, in addition to that, because we have a tremendous amount of information by the user, the customer who downloads the app and opts into X Bowling, we know a tremendous amount about that individual. It enables them to opt into a messaging platform from third parties, brands, whether they're sports brands, you know, beverage brands, or, you know, local merchants, who can then communicate because they have permission to communicate over our platform. And for that, of course, there would be a fee for them to do so. So we have a number of different revenue streams. And then the third one is, you know, as you start to host and become the platform for the industry, which is really what it is, the mobile platform for the industry, across events, tournaments, competitions, whether they're charity or professional or amateur or any other type of special event that we can create, then there would be a revenue stream that's derived from that as well. And let me say one more thing that's very cool about how this works. To answer your question earlier, Stephen, about an example, one of the groups that has adopted this and is adopting it early and quickly is the U.S. military, which may be a little-known fact, was a little-known fact to me until I got into this. They operate, the Army, Navy, Marines, and Air Force operate some 300 bowling centers around the world themselves. It's part of their quality of life and their recreation. And they have golf courses, they have bowling centers, they have a whole way of life. Well, think about the ability to have families connected through soldiers stationed abroad. Right, who have missed so many events with their children are now connecting through something they love to do in real time or extended time by bowling, and you're seeing your dad bowl against you from somewhere in the Middle East or Asia or Europe, and you're doing it on a birthday event and you're in Texas. It unifies people, it brings them together, and it does it through a sport that they already love.
We're talking with Bill Fasig, who's the Chief Marketing Officer with Sports Challenge Network, talking about the first product out, which is X Bowling. Sports Challenge Network, I would think this is just the tip of the iceberg. Yeah. There's so many other sports and things that you could do this with. Are there some plans that you can maybe share with us right now?
Yeah, we already are looking at both, not just the concept, but the development is for apps that penetrate other sports. The ones we're looking at initially are linking, for example, health and fitness clubs who already have systems in place. You know, whether that's your elliptical machine with the intelligent screen in front of you, or whether it's it could be any kind of really electronic interface that you have. That doesn't even have to be electronic interface. It's just the ability to connect and compete in a sport using the smart devices to linkage. And then obviously there are golf is another, of course, which has if you compete against each other in golf, you can figure out how you handicap that, which we're doing right now, but we could be playing on the same course, different courses, and it's all about that community and the community of competition, friendly or even beyond, to something more substantial that you can do through the apps.
Can I ask a crotchety old man question about bowling?
No.
Okay. No. Mike, back to
when Steven used to play, Bill, it was back in the days when they actually had people that would have to set up the wooden pins again after he knocked them down.
I've seen those.
I was going to say, you commented about the technology changes in the last 20 years and how there haven't been many of them. One of the technology changes in bowling in my lifetime, so everybody's been dating themselves.
Besides
so
turning I'll the lights off myself. And calling it cosmic bowling.
I was there with
and
that.
And the bumpers that you use.
No, I've never used bumpers. Okay. The change from everybody scores to it automatically being done.
Right.
My crotchety old man comment would be, I think people kind of backed away from that because so much of it is done for you. Is there anything in the app that will teach people actually what the scoring of bowling is and kind of keep that, you know, third grade math skills alive?
The manual mathematical score. There is nothing in the app today that will enable you to see that.
Only you would ask that question.
I would say, and frankly, I wouldn't know how to do that. But
see, I do.
You know, but I'm glad that you do. But one of the great benefits, however, of having that last major technology change in the industry before Cosmic was automatic scoring. But that has been what has enabled us to connect with every system and every center, which is no small thing, because that's anyone that wants to do that, be prepared to spend a couple of years and many millions of dollars to do it. And now that it's done, however, we have that interconnectivity with every major system that's used globally, which means you will see exactly what you see on your phone on the screen.
And you said there are multiple ways to score. There is some advancement of there's different. It's not just the old standard scoring. There are some. And like you said, the challenge of I'm going to throw a strike on this.
Yeah, you actually can compete with yourself or others in new ways.
Put trivia questions. What does a strike actually give you as far as scoring? So anyway, like I said, crotchety old man comment. My apologies.
Thank you. That's what you bring to the show. I could talk about this all day. I mean, I just find it fascinating. I think it's great. It's the new wave and so forth. You guys opened a facility in Gwinnett County, I believe, in Tecula.
We did.
What brought you to Gwinnett County? Why Gwinnett County?
Yeah, it's interesting. We, you know, obviously for me, I spent most of my career in the West Coast, in Silicon Valley, and then Southern California, and for the most part. And so
you're used to the traffic, first of all.
I am, and there are many days on the road around here where it feel like it's L.A., just depending on the time of day, but what Gwinnett County offered us was, first of all, if you look, I mean, for me, coming from the West Coast, for sure, you look at just the cost differentials, both for hiring and for homes. I mean, and everything compared to the West Coast seems like it's on sale. And so that's got some benefit. But apart from that, one of the things that I know that I was concerned about when I first came out here was the team. You know, we had our initial development team was in Silicon Valley, and some of them are still there. But we've now been able to find a great talent pool and great resources here because this is a fast-growing area. Atlanta's become a major corporate area. And you combine, you know, cost of living, quality of life. We all made a decision, even those of us that had to relocate, that we wanted this to become the center of how we built this. And we believe that it's going to become substantial. So they even got those of us who thought we'd never come back from the West Coast here. And we're loving it. We're absolutely loving it.
Apart from targeting every bowling center and individuals who download the app, are there any other targets you're looking for? What are you specifically going for out there?
Yeah, I mean, the footprint that we need, first of all, the way it works, it's very simple. We install a very simple, inexpensive server at our cost into the bowling center that allows us to read the scores off the system. So we will do that. There are thousands of bowling centers across the United States and then thousands internationally. So we have a roadmap that takes us to those centers, to most of them. There are some that use systems so old that we may not be able to do it, but not many. And so we are going to be establishing our footprint in those centers. And then it's about refining and enhancing the experience. We've taken this last year, this whole year, to beta test the product. And so we've had it in the hands of thousands of users. By the way, no marketing. We haven't marketed it at all yet because we've been in test mode. With no marketing, we've had approaching 15,000 downloads. We have had, here's a little known fact, nobody, even the industry would know. Since the beginning of the year in our beta centers, there have been just under 300 million balls thrown. And we track every one of them. We track the scores of the individuals, the strikes, the spares. We can tell you exactly how you're doing. So we are really at the point where we're now going to be launching commercially in this coming year and reaching out to those thousands of centers. We've been launching commercially with partners. We partner with all the major manufacturers in the industry, the major trade industry organizations, the governing body of the sport. We have those partnerships in place. Now it's about getting this into the hands of players and letting them find even new ways to play using the app. It always happens in an app. Whatever the creators of the app thought it was going to do, it'll do that. And then somebody has even more that it can do, and you build on it in an iterative way from a customer experience standpoint.
This has been wonderful, Bill. I really appreciate it because I read the article about your company a few weeks ago, and it wasn't really clear what it was that the company did. And now, obviously, hearing you talk about it, it makes a lot of sense, and it sounds wonderful, and I appreciate you coming on and talking about it. If folks want to know more information, get in touch with you guys, how would they reach out to you?
First thing you need to do, anyone, go download the app. You'll see it. It's easy to use. Go bowling. Go X Bowling specifically. So download the app. There are multiple centers around Atlanta that have it. It'll show you all those centers as soon as you download it. It'll tell you what's nearest to you, and it'll tell you where in the world, literally now in the world, we are located. And you can go to our Facebook page, which is just X Bowling, and the same for the website, which is xbowling.com. But most importantly, download the app and go X Bowling.
And it can be done on the iPhone and on Android. Just search X Bowling.
Search X Bowling. Any iDevice, an iPad, iTouch, iPhone, and any Android device.
Mike, even I can do that.
Yes. And we love the fact that here at Business Radio X, we love X Bowling.
I see a sponsorship coming.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about after this. Yeah.
Okay. Is there a story behind the name, by the way? There's always a story sometimes, but X Bowling, or that just was cool?
You know, it's what's cool, but honestly, the thinking that we had initially was we looked at, was there an example of a company that had helped redefine a sport and grow it? And the model that we saw initially was what ESPN did with X Games, which created this massive industry out of these nascent sports or niche sports. And we thought, you know, that's not bad. Seemed to work pretty well for them. And by the way, it's a cool name and a cool logo. And said, let's go for it.
Did the research take you to the XFL, or was that just...
No, we didn't.
Which we still talk about, even though it only existed for 1 year.
Nobody talks about the XFL.
Oh, I do. Okay,
we're going to be talking about X Bowling from here on out.
Yes, you
got
will.
That right. I'm going to download it.
Bill, thank you so much for your time. And again, from Sports Challenge Network and the newest product, X Bowling. And looking forward to not only hearing more about that, but all the other apps that are going to be coming out afterwards.
Look forward to coming back. Thanks for having me.
And also, Debbie, did you have a question too about X Bowling? No. Oh, I'm just going to thank her for coming on. What, did you think I was not going to thank Debbie for coming on the show today, Steve?
Yes, I did.
You're down there waving at me like I'm going to say goodbye, everybody. Debbie from Medical Education Resource, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
And, of course, Alan Mishkoff from Granite Garage Floors. And for my partner who, by the way, say goodbye. This is your last show, Steven.
Yes, goodbye, Mike. Yeah, thanks for having me.
No longer will be my co-host.
I will not be on Tuesday.
This is Mike Salmon. Thank you so much for joining us on Gwinnett Business Radio. A reminder, you can listen to Gwinnett Business Radio anytime, 24/7 on businessradiox.com. Also, we played on the other Atlanta stations on the Business Radio X network. For Steven and our guest today, this is Mike Salmon once again saying so long, and we'll see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.